There are monsters that live in forests. There's monsters that are said to lurk beneath lakes. And then there's dragons. Creatures so enormous, so powerful, and so deeply woven into human history that nearly every civilization on Earth has imagined them in one form or another.
From the mountains of Wales to the temples of China, from the frozen landscapes of Scandinavia to the deserts of Mesopotamia, stories of the dragons appear again and again. Sometimes they are gods, sometimes they are guardians, sometimes they're the symbols of wisdom, but more often, they're warnings.
Warnings of greed, warnings of destruction, warnings that humanity is not the most powerful thing in the world.
Tonight, we're exploring the strange history of dragons, the legends that inspired them, and the terrifying creatures that haunted the nightmares of entire civilizations. Because despite being separated by oceans, languages, and thousands of years, people everywhere kept telling stories about the same things. Something massive, something ancient, something with scales.
And perhaps the strangest question of all, why? Why do dragons appear in cultures that never met each other? And why has humanity never truly let them die?
Welcome back to the Ominous Archives, and tonight we open the file on dragons.
As Nick said, welcome back to the archives. I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
And for this episode in our international month, we're doing dragons.
Dragons.
I like it.
I hope you do. It's your topic.
Few creatures have achieved what dragons have. Bigfoot is mostly North American. The Yeti belongs largely to the Himalayas. The Loch Ness Monster basically lives in Scotland. But dragons, they are everywhere.
Anthropologists have long pointed out that dragon-like creatures appear in countless civilizations across the globe. They got different names, different appearances, but surprisingly similar themes.
A giant reptilian creature, often serpentine, also often associated with immense power, usually connected to fear, chaos, treasure, storms, rivers, or even death.
Some dragons have wings, others don't. Some breathe fire, others command floods, weather, or poison. Yet somehow, humanity repeatedly arrived at the same version of the same creature.
Some of the most earliest dragon-like beings appear in ancient Mesopotamia. Thousands of years before medieval knights supposedly fought dragons, civilizations in the Fertile Crescent were already writing about monstrous serpents.
One of the most famous examples is Tiamat, a primordial sea dragon from Babylonian mythology, a creature representing chaos itself.
According to legend, Tiamat was an enormous monster associated with the primordial ocean. When younger gods challenged her authority, war erupted. The god Marduk eventually slew Tiamat and used her body to create the heavens and the earth.
It's one of the oldest known dragon stories in human history. And right away, we see a theme that will repeat over and over again. Dragons aren't merely animals, they're forces of nature.
And now we head over to Greece. Ancient Greece was absolutely filled with dragons. Although they often looked more like gigantic serpents than the winged dragons that we would picture today.
One famous example is Ladon, a many-headed dragon tasked with guarding the golden apples of immortality.
Ladon never slept, never stopped watching. Imagine entering a dark, sacred garden knowing a creature with countless eyes was observing your every movement.
Following him up, we have Hydra, perhaps one of the most terrifying monsters in mythology. Cut off one head, two more come back.
Yeah, the Hydra wasn't just dangerous, it was hopeless. the more you fought it, the stronger it became, which is a frightening concept all by itself.
Definitely.
Right.
Could you imagine if it could breathe fire?
Right. Just add that fuel to the fire.
Why not? Was there pun intended on that one?
No pun intended.
Oh, okay. And now we're going to move into the Norse mythology, where dragons become even darker. These aren't wise guardians. They're embodiments of greed and doom.
One of the most famous is Fafnir, originally a dwarf, but after becoming consumed by greed, he transformed into a dragon.
And that's important, because Fafnir wasn't born a monster. He became one.
The treasure that he guarded corrupted him so completely that he physically transformed into a dragon. A literal representation of greed destroying the soul.
Then we encounter Nidhogg, one of the most unsettling dragons in mythology. A monstrous serpent dwelling beneath Yggdrasil, the world tree.
Nidhogg spends eternity gnawing at the roots of existence itself. Imagine that. A dragon slowly chewing away at reality from below, waiting patiently forever. Perhaps one of the most influential dragon stories in Western history appears in Beowulf, the legendary Old English epic.
Near the end of the story, a dragon awakens after a thief steals a single cup from its treasure hoard. One cup, that's all it takes.
The dragon's response is pure devastation. Villages burn, homes are completely destroyed, and entire communities suffer.
Eventually, Beowulf confronts the beast, but unlike most heroic tales, this battle comes with a terrible price.
Beowulf kills the dragon, but he receives a mortal wound. The hero dies, the dragon dies, and nobody truly wins.
It's a pretty grim ending. One that feels more realistic than the fiery tales that came later.
If you've ever looked at the Welsh flag, you've seen one of the most famous dragons in the world. The Red Dragon of Wales.
Known as Uggdragach. The dragon has become a national symbol, but its origins are much darker.
One legend tells of two dragons, a red dragon and a white dragon, locked in a devastating battle. Their screams were so terrible that they caused suffering throughout the entire land.
The conflict eventually became symbolic. The red dragon representing the Welsh people, the white dragon representing invading Saxons.
Even today, the dragon remains one of the most recognizable national symbols anywhere on the earth.
Now, finally head on east, and everything changes. Because Chinese dragons are fundamentally different from many Western dragons.
In Europe, dragons are often villains. However, in China, dragons are frequently revered, respected, and even celebrated.
Chinese dragons are associated with rain, rivers, prosperity, and imperial power. Rather than destroying civilizations, they often protect it.
They're usually depicted as long serpentine creatures with antler-like horns, claws, whiskers, and immense wisdom.
Historically, Chinese emperors were associated with dragons. The creature became a symbol of authority and divine favor.
Yet, despite their benevolent reputation, Chinese dragons still possess immense power. The kind of power that inspires respect and perhaps a little bit of fear.
Then, in Japanese folklore, which also contains numerous dragon stories, many connected to the sea, storms, and unknown depths.
One famous example is Yamada no Orochi, an eight-headed, eight-tailed dragon. A creature so enormous that its body stretched across valleys and mountains.
According to legend, Orochi demanded human sacrifices. Every year, another daughter was taken until a storm god intervened.
the story culminates in a brutal confrontation. After becoming intoxicated on specially prepared sake, the dragon is slain, and within its tail, a legendary sword is discovered.
Across Eastern Europe, we encounter dragons that are often terrifying mixtures of serpent, demon, and storm spirit.
Many Slavic dragons possessed multiple heads. Some had 3, others had 7, some had 12.
Destroying one head rarely ended the threat. The creature remained alive, still dangerous, still hunting.
Stories often involved dragons kidnapping people, demanding tribute, or terrorizing entire villages, themes that appear all throughout Europe.
Which brings us to perhaps the most fascinating question. Why did dragons appear everywhere?
Well, there's several theories. One involves fossils. Ancient people regularly discovered enormous bones. Bones belonging to dinosaurs, mammoths, and prehistoric creatures.
Without modern science, it would have been easy to imagine giant monsters, especially reptilian monsters.
Another theory suggests dragons combine humanity's oldest fears. Snakes, large predators, birds of prey.
Psychologist Carl Jung even suggests dragons might represent archetypal fears buried deep within the human psyche, a universal monster emerging independently across cultures.
Throughout history, there have been people who genuinely believed dragons existed, not symbolically, literally.
Medieval best theories frequently included dragons alongside real animals, lions, wolves, bears, and dragons.
To many people, dragons were simply another dangerous creature somewhere beyond the edges of the known world.
Maps occasionally featured warnings about monstrous reptiles lurking in unexplored regions. The message was simple. There are places humanity has not conquered, and perhaps never will.
The longer you study dragon mythology, the more you realize these stories weren't really about reptiles.
They were about humanity, about greed, power, chaos, fear.
Fafnir became a dragon through greed. The Beowulf dragon represented destructive vengeance. Nidhogg symbolized decay. Tiamat represented premodural chaos.
Even malevolent dragons often represented forces beyond human control. Floods, storms, nature itself.
In many ways, dragons became the perfect monster because they could represent anything terrifying, anything enormous, and anything unknowable.
What is truly remarkable is that dragons never disappear. Most mythological creatures faded into obscurity.
The dragon survived through folklore, literature, medieval legends, and through modern fantasy.
Thousands of years after Tiamat emerged from Mesopotamian mythology, people are still telling dragon stories.
The creature continues evolving, changing shape, meaning, and yet somehow remains familiar.
Maybe that's because dragons were never just monsters. They were mirrors, reflections of whatever frightened humanity most.
Ancient civilians feared chaos, so dragons became chaos. Kings feared rebellion, so dragons became conquerors. Common people feared greed. Dragons became treasure hoarding beasts.
And despite all our technology, all our knowledge, all our science, there is still something unsettling about the image of a massive creature waiting in the darkness, watching, ancient, patient.
Perhaps that's why dragons endure. Not because people believe they existed, but because part of us still feels like they should.
Thank you for joining us for this international episode in the Ominous Archives. If you enjoyed it, make sure to follow us on all of our social medias, and make sure to go check out our other team member Sam's podcast over at Scare Me Sam, as she does amazing work for us and her own podcast, which is in the market for a thriller or dark fantasy book. Go check her out.
She's your girl.
So until next time, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.